Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Sometimes you have to wonder. News today says the Canadian government has been spying on and infiltrating Native communities for security reasons. Nice. But for a much better and more realistic view of Indigenous people, the always interesting Imagine Native Festival is opening next week and running from the 19th with 5 days of films, art, videos, sound art, and live performances by stars like the hip-hop group A Tribe Called Red and the wonderful Buffy St. Marie. They're showing international films from South Africa about the Khoisan people, a visually great Australian movie called Samson and Delilah, an interesting film in French out of Quebec called Menak, and many other Canadian short films, documentaries, and features about and by Aboriginal filmmakers. So this week I'm going to talk about two good movies playing at Imaginative and review an 80s remake. First, On the Ice, directed by Andrew Okpia McLean. Two high school students, Ivok and Kali, played by Frank Kutuk Ireland and Josiah Patkotak, are best buds. They hang out, rap, play sports, and go hunting together. Kali's the good boy with a young face getting set for university in the fall. He spends time with his grandmother, who only speaks Inuktitut. He studies hard, stays out of trouble, doesn't drink, smoke, or do drugs. Ivok does. He's taller, tougher, troubled. They live in a small Inuit town in Alaska. But when the two of them in their puffy white parkas go out seal hunting on the ice along with a rival, James, things go wrong. Ivok and James get in a fight, and after a while, James ends up dead. It was an accident, not murder, but it looks really bad. So Kali and Ivok decide to cover it up. They drop James's body and skidoo down an ice hole. But people don't just disappear. What to me looks just like undifferentiated, endless white of snow and tundra is actually a traceable crime scene. James's girlfriend thinks it's a suicide and it's her fault. The town cop thinks alcohol is the culprit. Soon, everyone's in an uproar, first in a search for James, then in constantly questioning and re-questioning the two boys' story. What about the skidoo tracks? They don't follow the path the boys were taking them. And why was the ice brushed clean? And what were those drops of blood doing on an animal fur? Kali wants to keep quiet, but Ivok can't stop telling everybody that he was the one responsible. As the tension mounts, it's not clear who, if anyone, will be blamed and who is really at fault. On the Ice is a good, suspenseful drama about life in the far, far north. Does have an American in-your-face confrontational tone to it that you don't get in Canadian Native and Inuit movies. Is it the culture or the filmmaking culture that's portrayed differently? Either way, this is a good, icy story. Next, Wapos Bay, Long Goodbyes, directed by Dennis Jackson. Chief Big Sky from Wapos Bay, a bucolic area filled with trees, mountains, and streams, is elected as the National Grand Chief for all of Canada. So he and his colleague Alphonse and their respective families will be moving away from the village. But first, Wapos Bay has to elect a new chief. Jacob, voice Lorne Cardinal, is the sole candidate running for chief, but Raven, voice Raven Brass, a little girl, doesn't like that. She has a new idea. She'll manage her dad Alphonse's campaign while he's away, so they'll have to stay in Wapos Bay. She constructs the election until she becomes a little Karl Rove, complete with attack ads, questionable rumors about Uncle Jacob and a lumber multinational, and dirty tricks. She even gives muffled speeches by telephone, since her dad almost never talks. Soon everyone wants Alphonse to win. Everyone, that is, except Alphonse himself, who doesn't even realize he's running. But Raven's schemes escalate to such a degree that they're out of control. Raven's created a monster, and soon cops are running after Jacob with their tasers in their hands. Meanwhile, Devin and his friends want to complete a bucket list before some of them move away using the fortune that Kokum Mary earned marketing traditional medicines. So there are trips down the rapids, parachute jumps from an airplane, bungee jumping. Will Raven and company get Alphonse elected before he makes it back to Wapos Bay? Will the real truth about Jacob get out, and will the families adjust to their friends moving down south? This is a cute feature-length version of the TV comedy, and it's animated. It's beautiful clay stop-motion animation with lots of quick jokes, one-liners, and some bad sitcom gags. And no laugh track. It's sort of like The Simpsons, only Native, and not quite so frenetic. I'd never seen the TV show before, so didn't quite get it at first, but once you fall into the rhythm, you grow to like the characters pretty quickly. And the world premiere of this movie will be closing the Imaginative Festival next week. Next, Footloose, directed by Craig Brewer. Orphan Ren McCormack, played by Kenny Wormald, a high school senior, moves from Boston to small town Beaumont, down in the land of cotton, to stay with his relatives. He likes fixing cars, listening to loud music, talking back, as well as expressing himself through gymnastics and interpretive dance. He figures life will be just like back home, only smaller, but he soon learns he's landed in a town like no other. His new school teaches the three R's, reading, writing, and redneckery. And because in Beaumont there was a car accident a few years back, killing five of the kids, including the preacher, Dennis Quaid's son, now the town has put all the kids under a permanent curfew and banned music, dancing, and lascivious behavior. He says the kids must be protected from a world filled with evil, temptation, and danger. But the preacher's daughter, Ariel, played by Julianne Hough, is a rebel. She hangs out in the bad part of town on the wrong side of the tracks with drag racer Chuck, or Lugnuts, as Ren calls him. Kids get around this ban by breakdancing and making out behind the town drive-in. You see, they're just kids, and kids gotta dance. So Ren decides to take the lead and challenge the anti-dancing law by getting everyone to join in and dance with him. But he faces trouble from all sides. Chuck sneers at Ren's dancing skills. Town cop keeps harassing him, and the school threatens to expel him on drug charges. Will they convince the old fogies to change their ways? Will Ariel choose to go with bad boy Chuck or rebel Ren? And will Ren's new best friend and town hick Willard ever learn to dance? Okay, a bit of context. Footloose, along with Fame and Flashdance, were one of the three F's in the 80s. Words no teenage guy would say out loud to his friend or admit to seeing. Too uncool. But Footloose was part of the Reagan-era zeitgeist, so even if you hadn't seen it, you knew what it was about. Amidst all the big city violence and change, it was showing a conservative 1950s-style America that supposedly still existed somewhere in the 1980s. And it was filled with 80s mainstream cheesy pop songs. But in 2011, it's a retro movie, a remake of a movie about a world that never existed, where girls only dance if boys ask them, and saving one's virginity, not even kissing, is the most important virtue. To make it even more confusing, it mixes covers of 80s pop with current bad hip-hop and that worst of all musical genres, new country. So they break dance and then cowboy line dance in the same film. Oh boy, a big mess. This is a deeply conservative movie, but it's not unwatchable. And the actors seem to perform their own dancing. So if you like watching teenagers dance, go see Footloose. Footloose opens today, and On the Ice and Wapos Bay are showing at Imaginative next week. Check imaginative.org for all listings and times. Also playing now is Circumstance, a movie I reviewed during the Inside Out Festival. It's a great Farsi language film about two girls struggling to maintain a lesbian relationship within a vibrant but hidden subculture in conservative and oppressive present-day Tehran. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.